I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
A lot of players that came here went through a hard journey because it is hard to play here at Buffalo. You have to be built different. You have to be tough. You have to be hard-nosed. You have to be willing to be coached. You have to welcome a challenge, and you got to walk through a lot of fire throughout the season, you know, to get to where you want to go. It's uncomfortable, but getting outside of your comfort zone and being pushed and being challenged the way that we do our players here puts them in position to this weekend cut a net down. And they may not appreciate it in the moment, and they may not understand it in the moment. But like Lonnie said, since June, we have been molding them and pushing them and challenging them so that they can feel the feeling they just felt out there, and so that they can feel the feeling that hopefully they will have on Saturday.
That's UB Women's Head Coach Becky Burke. Zach Jones and I have had the pleasure of talking with her several times throughout their season, including as they were getting themselves prepared for Cleveland State in the NIT. And now here they are. They've defeated Cleveland State. They are playing for the championship in the women's NIT. And now joining me on the Wester Hotline is UB Women's play-by-play man, Jack Cruiser, here on the Wester Hotline. Jack, every person within this roster at WGR, they do have a coming-of-age sort of process. And one of those things is we do work the UB games. And I've never had the pleasure of being able to work with you in the past, Jack, but it's good to be able to talk to you here on Sports Talk Saturday.
I'm so glad you reached out, Derek. It's great to be on with you. Thanks for giving me the call. This season has been just so tremendous, and I wouldn't be able to do my job without the board ops that Odyssey provides. So a special shout-out, Chris Giacobello, Evan DePasquale running the board now. All those guys do a fantastic job, and you know, we're lucky to have them too.
And you know what? It is fascinating, though, to see the success that this women's program has had consistently over the years. I mean, I remember when I was one of those board ops, it was Felicia Leggett Jack running the show for the women's squad there. And now to see what Becky Burke has done for the program on the women's side here, and now having an opportunity to hang an NIT banner at Alumni Arena is something special for the entire community within women's basketball and for Big Four basketball here in Buffalo.
No doubt. To be the last team playing in Western New York and one of 10 teams across all of basketball, men, women, Division I through III, NAIA, there are only 10 teams still playing on April 5th. And for UB to be one of them, what a special season. And Derek, it started with the best beginning to a season in program history. We knew early on that this team had something special about them. I didn't think it would be playing in April special, but you know, no complaints on this side.
Absolutely no complaints on this side. They went out to, I do believe it was a 12-0 start this season, and they just really didn't stop from there. They end the regular season 25-7. They don't get themselves into the March Madness tournament, but they do get themselves first round bye through the NIT. And from here, it has been a very dominant performance by UB throughout. It did come with a little bit of like comebacks, a little bit of drama as well, but they have been consistently fantastic throughout the postseason.
Yeah, this team loves playing from behind for some reason. I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's just a little added adversity at times, but in all seriousness, it has been a tough road. I think before the WNIT began and they released the bracket and I saw UMass and Rutgers and Southern Indiana on their side of the bracket in their quadrant, I would argue that UB had the toughest road to the championship game. I mean, UMass came into Buffalo with a team mostly over 6 feet tall, and UB, for the record, has two players that stand over 6 feet, so they're very undersized. And in a matchup against a team in UMass who is heading to the MAC next season, they should compete for the MAC championship right away, the Minute Women. They're a very good program with a lot of returners coming back next year. For Buffalo to come back from down 16 points in the last 8 minutes of that game, force overtime, and win it by two, right then, Derek, we knew, okay, the Bulls aren't playing around. They didn't win the MAC championship, but they equally want this WNIT championship and to get a ring on their finger. As soon as they came back in that UMass game in the second round of the WNIT, I think everyone saw the switch flip. Okay, they want to be here. Not only do they want to play a couple more games, they want to cut a net down.
And there's plenty of ways that they do it. You do mention that they are an undersized squad, but they do also have a trio of players that are averaging 10 points per game on this team in Watson, Lewis Williams, and Cornfield. What are the strengths with UB with their team, and how is it that they make it to the success story that they have right now?
You know, it's a real interesting one. When you play 35 games over the course of a season, 36, 37 now for Buffalo, this will be game 37, a new program record for the women. It doesn't come without its trials and tribulations. You know, UB fell in the championship game a season ago, and there were a few returners coming back, notably Chella Watson, who was a first-team All-Conference honoree last year. She repeated that with another first-team All-Conference recognition this season. But there was a lot of figuring out to do. A couple transfers come to mind. One of those big three you mentioned, Noelani Cornfield, from Lakeshore High School, just down the road in Gowanda. She played at Southern Miss last year in the Sun Belt, which happened to be Troy's conference. But coming into this season, she didn't know her role with the team as the point guard, replacing a girl in Rena El Husseini who had a triple-double against Lonnie last year, in fact, in December. There wasn't a sure consensus of what does the starting lineup look like. Buffalo had to add two posts to the transfer portal, and Lonnie didn't really find her role until mid-February. There was a stretch in the heart of the conference schedule for Buffalo in early February to late March, where Cornfield was taken out of the starting lineup. She had started 21 straight games and then started to come off the bench in favor of a sophomore, Paula Lopez. It did one of two things. First, it allowed Paula more confidence as a three-point shooter, as a ball handler. She felt more able coming off the bench, starting rather than coming off the bench. And for Cornfield, it gave her a chance to watch the game from the bench, feel the energy, and see what she could do and pick apart on the floor firsthand, not just on film. They started to go back to her as a starter when the MAC tournament hit, but there was a change there when she was taken out of the starting lineup, Derek, where Noelani Cornfield became such more of a vocal leader from the bench. You could hear her all the way down the floor. In some buildings, you could hear her from the hallway when the Bulls were on the road during shoot-around and during practice as more of a vocal leader, more secure of her role. She is my X factor in tonight's game, Cornfield, as the Western New York native to bring Buffalo a championship. What a story that would be.
What a story it would be. And also, really, an opportunity to have a banner that not many schools get to brag about. Typically, when you look at the history of the NIT, whether it be in the men's or women's side of things, it is typically a blue blood that carries a banner at the end of the day. And this year, it is going to be one of Troy or Buffalo that is able to take home that championship. It would mean something special here for UB women's program that for at least a couple of years now has shined brighter on the courts around Alumni Arena.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look at the victors of the WNIT over the last 10 years, UCLA, Michigan, Indiana, Arizona, Kansas, those type of names. No doubt that is what the WNIT has been. But this is the trickle-down effect that we're seeing across all of college basketball. It is the transfer portal. It is NIL. It all relates. You see the introduction of the WBIT and then the crown on the men's side, where those are NCAA-sanctioned tournaments for the postseason. So you've got the 68 in the March Madness in the NCAA tournament, and then the NCAA says, well, we'll take the next best 32 teams and put them in the WBIT, or the next best 16, and then the next best 32 are in the WNIT. So what that does is give teams like Buffalo and Troy, and earlier in the postseason, Cleveland State, Southern Indiana, UMass, these mid-major programs that usually wouldn't get the opportunity to play postseason basketball, the WNIT has become a mid-major showcase. So it's not what the tournament was a decade ago, but what it's becoming is, okay, the teams from the mid-major level that didn't make March Madness, that didn't win their conference, they're going to get a bid to the WNIT and play against same level of competition throughout the country. It's really becoming a mid-major showcase, and for Buffalo to win this early on in the new era of college basketball would certainly set the precedent for this is the benchmark now.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack Kruiser, play-by-play for the UB women's basketball team, joining me here on the West Her Hotline. UB taking on Troy for the chance to win the NIT tournament. Tip-off at 5 o'clock at Alumni Arena, which, Jack, this is kind of where like the attention started here. You had mentioned something of in the semifinal game, the Fab Four, I do believe it is called, for the NIT. You'd mentioned attendance was a little bit of a factor for how the teams get to host with the opportunity here. What has Alumni Arena been like throughout the tournament?
Throughout the tournament, it's been fantastic, Derek. It's really been so much fun to be in this environment. I've been trying to get people to come out to see this team. I've been with the team for 3 years now. And since Becky Burke has taken over, it's been a steady build. You know, everyone says success isn't linear, but progress is. We've seen the progression linear, and funny enough, the success has matched it. You think year one, she wins 12 games, loses in the quarterfinal of the conference tournament. Last year, semifinal appearance, they beat the number one seed in the MAC tournament. They lose in the MAC championship this year to get to 29 wins and set program records all across the board. It's been fun to watch. And I've been begging people to come out. Just give the women's team a chance. There's such a stereotype that women's basketball isn't as fun as the men. I got to say, this UB women's basketball team over the last 3 years has been more entertaining than any other basketball in Western New York. And I'm an avid fan of Big Four sports and basketball specifically. The crowd has been a factor, no doubt, especially in the WNIT. And on Wednesday night, for over 3,000 fans to come out on a rainy Wednesday in Amherst, where it was a long line on the roads on Millersport Drive to get parking, and then an even longer line to get tickets inside Alumni Arena. You're standing out in the rain. For fans to go through all that just to support this team, it shows you what Buffalo's all about. You know, I'm a Cheektowaga native. I love my sports, and I know that all of us from Western New York love any good sports team. You know, I'm a diehard Sabres fan, and people say, oh, well, Buffalo's not a hockey town anymore. No. Buffalo fans just recognize a really good team when they see it, and they will come to support. You see it with the Bills, you see it with the Bandits, and you're seeing it now with the UB women's basketball team. It is almost official that they will break an attendance record tonight in the WNIT championship tip-off at 5 against Troy. The previous record was set earlier this year with 4,900 fans. That was on Education Day. It was a Wednesday morning tip-off in early February, where there were over 3,000 of those fans that came in from elementary, middle, and high schools around Western New York. And don't get me wrong, Derek, they were loud, and they definitely made an impact on the game. But there's a certain level of of mature basketball fans that were missing at that game.
Yep.
That brought that extra, you know, bass noise out to the crowd. A lot of high-pitched screaming in that one. You almost had to plug your ears at times. But no, all jokes aside, the crowd has been fantastic, and a record-breaking crowd tonight is certainly going to help Buffalo in their chance to cut a net down.
And with that chance to cut a net down, what stands in their way? It's Troy. And they've got someone that's averaging a double-double throughout the season. So it doesn't look like it's going to be an easy test here. Obviously, it's the final in the tournament.
Yeah, real interesting. How often do you see a team begin and end their season against the same opponent? This is the championship. There will be no more basketball after this. This is for everything. And the fact that Buffalo was matched up with Troy in the first game of the regular season back on November 4th, give credit to the schedule makers. Of course, the coaches make the schedules usually, but last year the Mid-American Conference and the Sun Belt Conference commissioners came together and said, we think we're about on par. There was a little bit of a match between the two that said, well, we think our conference is better, and the other says the same. So they decided, all right, let's do a challenge. We'll match each team up in the conference. There's 12 Mid-American Conference teams. There's 15 in the Sun Belt. So we'll take your top 12 in the net rankings in the Sun Belt, and we'll match them up with an equal counterpart on the Mid-American Conference side. Everyone will play on the same day in the beginning of the season with the first game, and then we'll readjust in early February and follow up with a secondary game of the MAC Sun Belt Challenge. So based on the net rankings after last season, Troy and Buffalo were two spots away from each other. So they matched up against each other for the first game of this season. It just so happened to work out that Buffalo hosted that game. They won it by 80-78, in really a get-the-rust-off kind of game, Derek. I mean, free throw shooting was not great. Each team missed 11 shots from the free throw line. There were a combined 29 fouls between the two teams. So it was a lot of feeling out. And you're going to get that at the mid-major level with the transfer portal. There were so many players on both teams that did not play for Troy or Buffalo a season ago. They were finding their own places within the team. But also, there's nothing really to scout for game one. You don't really know who each other are, what they're going to look like on the floor. Now with a full season of film and statistics out on both teams, it'll be an even better chess match where now Becky Burke for Buffalo and 13-year head coach Shanda Rigby for Troy, they can use all of the knowledge that they've had throughout the season to match up even better in this game. You're right. They do have Zay Dyer, Troy does, averaging 14-10 per game, the top rebounder in the Sun Belt Conference. She was a first-team all-honoree, a transfer from Georgia State. Dyer went for 11 points and 8 rebounds in that season opener against Buffalo. But what Coach Burke always says to me pregame, when we're playing a team whose best player is a forward, she'd much rather have the opposition's best player a post rather than a guard, because you can't help but let the guard get the basketball when they're on the other side of the floor. They're going to touch it almost every possession. With a forward, there are ways that Buffalo can maneuver their defense around, send a player in front and behind of that post when they get set up in their half-court offense, and deny passes to that key player as oftentimes as they are able to. For Buffalo to do that on Dyer today is certainly a key. But I'll tell you what, Troy, they shoot in bunches. They just throw the shot up and then fly around looking for offensive rebounds. They're not going to be the team to take a good shot necessarily, quote-unquote good. They're not looking for the best shot on the floor. They just want the number of shots to be about 25 a quarter and hope that half of them fall. So if Buffalo's going to win this one, they'll have to, of course, shut down Zay Dyer, but also just manage that kind of run-and-gun style of Troy, with Buffalo's defense being the top of the Mid-American Conference as it's been all season. I would expect Buffalo to be up to the task defensively. It should be a lot of fun.
Should be a lot of fun, Jack. And what you got for us? I would imagine pregame will start a bit earlier than that 5 o'clock tip-off there over on the Bet 1520.
Yeah, we'll be live at 4:30. I'll have Coach Burke with us for a few minutes of the pregame show on 1520 a.m. We'll preview it all. We'll talk about that first meeting with Troy and really just get you everything you need to know ahead of tip-off. And, of course, we'll have the game at 5 p.m. On our sister station and the Varsity Network app. If you download that, it's for free, and you can listen to the game there. It should be a lot of fun, Derek. I'm really looking forward to this. And, you know, the feeling in the building is confident. I walked in about an hour ago now. The team was just leaving shoot-around. Buffalo was. There's a sense of intention and confidence in their swagger this afternoon. Buffalo's looking to cut a net down. Should be a good one.
Should be a good one, Jack. And I appreciate you being able to take out the time for us to talk about it.
Absolutely. Anytime, Derek. Anytime.
Absolutely. Jack Kruiser, women's play-by-play for the UB Bulls, joining me there on the Western Hotline. UB against Troy for the women's NIT final and championship at Alumni Arena, 5 p.m. You'll be able to listen to that over on our sister station, The Bet 1520, or you can make your way down to Alumni Arena and be part of the crowd and see if UB can make program history this afternoon. We'll take a timeout. Come on back. Get a little bit of hockey. Go back to the rinks here. Talk about, of course, Ovechkin again being tied now with Wayne Gretzky with the all-time goals record. But also, we'll squeeze in a little bit of Sabres here as well. As, well, you look at the standings and go, why couldn't you do it this year? As frustrating as that playoff race has been, are they just too hot, too late? Is it another one of those lost seasons as well? Derek Kramer here on Sports Talk Saturday. This is WGR.